Welcome to Veterans AZ, conversations that celebrate Arizona's veterans and offer insight into their accomplishments and into the programs and organizations that serve them. This episode shines a spotlight on Arizona Veterans Mission Group, a newly formed nonprofit that provides legal assistance to veterans to help them receive the care and benefits they deserve. Join me as I speak with Anna Minear and Derek Debus, who dedicate their time to help veterans who are navigating the often complex world of VA benefits and the legal system. Here is our interview with the Arizona Veterans Mission Group. I'm here with Anna Minear and Derek Debus from the Arizona Veterans Mission Group. So thanks for joining us. We're interested, of course, in learning more about your organization and how you serve veterans and service members of in Arizona. But first, can you tell us more about your background?
Yeah, Anna Minear. I'm the executive director of Arizona Veterans Mission Group. We are a newer organization. We started last year, and our mission is to provide legal assistance to active and veterans, active duty military and veterans.
Yeah, so my name is Derek Debus. I'm an Arizona licensed attorney. I'm the director of military and veterans law at Stone Rose Law. We're the largest veterans law firm here in the Southwest United States. I'm also a volunteer attorney with Arizona Veterans Mission Group.
Did you set out to be in the veterans area of law when you decided to become a lawyer? What's your background? How did you end up here?
Yeah, so I served in the Marine Corps from 2009 to 2016 as a infantryman and combat instructor. When I got out, I kind of wasn't sure what I wanted to do, so I went to law school like so many people. After law school, I was a prosecutor with the Maricopa County Attorney's Office before I got stolen over by Stone Rose Law to do criminal defense there. And while I was doing criminal defense, I was also in the process of trying to get my benefits as well. And I thought, this is crazy difficult. Like, the regulations are clear, the evidence is clear, why do they keep messing this up? This is such a headache. And then it clicked. If it's a problem for me, a licensed attorney, well, this is gonna be a problem for everybody. So that's when I started digging into the issues more and realized that this was a drastically underserved community with very niche legal issues that really need a great deal of help that they weren't getting. And that's when I went to our boss, Craig Rosenstein, and said, Craig, this is what I want to do. And he said, I love it. I'm 100% on board. And, you know, took off from there.
Well, the law can be very intimidating to anybody. So can you tell us, Derek, you mentioned you're a VA certified attorney. Can you tell us what a VA accredited attorney does?
Yeah, so I am accredited by the Department of Veterans Affairs to assist veterans in preparing and prosecuting claims for benefits as well as appeals of initial claims or denied claims. And the biggest importance of accreditation is the accountability. So the VA, in addition to the Arizona State Bar, monitors my performance as well as how I treat my clients to ensure that I'm being ethical, I'm being fair. They've got final authority over any fees that I do charge in those cases where I do charge a fee.
So it's a fairly rigorous process, and I'm presuming that if I'm out there looking for assistance with VA benefits, I might also come across maybe someone who's not VA accredited.
Yes. So ever since the criminal penalties were written out of the law in 2006 for being unaccredited and charging veterans a fee for work performed in front of the Department of Veterans Affairs, since that happened in 2006, there's been an explosion of what we call unaccredited claims sharks. These are folks who are not lawyers. They're not accredited by the Department of Veterans Affairs, and they charge what amounts to an illegal fee in order to assist veterans for work that myself or a veteran service organization would do for free.
Well, I think this is an incredibly important point for veterans watching to understand. Certainly navigating the VA and VA benefits can be arduous. So some veteran services organizations provide similar assistance. Mm-hmm. What is the difference between what one might get from a VSO and help that someone could receive through AVMG?
Sure. So we fundraise. We are a 501c3. And so we can help with you know, there's fees involved, because there are some, you know, especially when we're dealing with appeals and things like that, you know, medical visits to tie back, you know, any injuries to service, we can cover some of those costs. So we want to make sure we remove all barricades for people to get the benefits they deserve. So that's where Arizona Veterans Mission Group comes in partnership with our law firms.
And so some of the things you do assist veterans with the benefits process. And I think all of us recognize that a lot of times the processing time at the VA can be lengthy. So can you talk a little bit more about that, what you're seeing and why that is?
Yeah, so each kind of period of time has its own issues and reasons for that. But what we're seeing now are a combination of kind of three things. Number one are the sheer amount of veterans these days that are applying for benefits. So more claims in the process leads to longer wait times. The second issue was, you know, there were federal hiring freezes a couple years ago. So what we've seen is the VA's rushed to fill a bunch of roles that they haven't been able to fill previously. And the veteran service representatives or rating veteran service representatives are not getting the same level of training that their predecessors would. So those mistakes have to be caught and corrected and returned. And the third reason is because of the PACT Act. There's a lot of confusion at the VA right now about when certain types of medical opinions or examinations have to be ordered. And what we're seeing a lot is a lot of overdevelopment or unnecessary exams that get ordered, which then lead to additional processing time while the VA waits for those.
So in addition to the processing times, what are some of the other big issues that you're seeing that our veterans are dealing with?
Yeah, so we kind of hit on it a little bit earlier when we were talking about unaccredited claim sharks. These companies will take a veteran, help them with their initial claim, work that Congress has mandated that myself, other attorneys, and veteran service organizations perform for free, and charge them for preparing the paperwork, essentially. And for the service of preparing this paperwork, and in some cases obtaining questionable medical exams, they charge up to 7 or 8 times the monthly increase that veteran receives.
So for a veteran who's working through the VA process applying for benefits, if they're working with a third party and there's a big fee involved, that should be a red flag for them.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a huge red flag. If they're charging a veteran for initial claims, saying, VA, this is the first time I'm asking you for benefits for this condition, that should be a huge red flag. If they are sending you to their own doctors or say, you know, we're going to determine what we get paid based off of an increase, that's a huge red flag.
So in that kind of a scenario, what should someone do?
If you have not signed the contract yet, don't. Work with a VSO or an accredited agent or attorney. And if you're in the process, in the middle, you haven't gotten a decision yet, tell them that you're not going to, you want to cancel the contract. You know, you shouldn't owe any fees because those contracts are, in my view, at least here in the state of Arizona, illegal.
So it's not too late if someone is
absolutely not.
Has started. Derek, can you talk a little bit more about some of the risks involved to the veteran when they're working with an unaccredited shark or organization?
The risks are substantial. So when I represent a client before the VA, I am signing every single piece of paper we file. I am accepting responsibility for whatever gets filed with the VA. So if something is deemed fraudulent, which of course it wouldn't be, but if something is deemed fraudulent, that comes back on me, and that's my responsibility to deal with. What these unaccredited claim sharks are doing is they're getting access to the veteran's VA.gov account. So everything from the VA side and from the U.S. Attorney's Office side looks like it's being compiled and submitted by the veteran. So if there's fraud uncovered down the road, that's on the veteran. And it's the veteran who's getting investigated by the U.S. Attorney's Office. It's the veteran who's getting investigated by the VA. It's the veteran who ultimately will have to pay the price.
Well, that sounds pretty scary. Is there anything happening that might remove these unaccredited individuals from this process?
Yeah, so there is a bill in Congress right now called the Guard VA Benefits Act. And what it purports to do is reinstate those penalties that existed prior to 2006 for individuals who charge a fee to represent individuals without being accredited by the VA. But you know, what we really need people to do is reach out to their representatives and advise them, you know, we support this, and we want you to support that as well.
We work hard on the advocacy side of things. We've been meeting with a lot of our local lawmakers. So Arizona Veterans Mission Group definitely is involved in letting our legislators know, you know, how important this is and how wrong it is for our veterans when they're being charged for services that should be provided for free.
And what was the name of that act again? What should people mention when they're contacting their federal representatives?
The GUARD VA Benefits Act.
You can see with that too, you can log on online and see who's already signed on and who hasn't. In addition to encouraging people to sign on that haven't, I would also call and say thank you to those that are supporting it and have already seen the importance of this bill.
Anna, can you talk a little bit more about the broader mission of AVMG? Are there other legal issues that the organization is involved with and supports for veterans?
Currently, the GUARD VA Benefits Act and PACT Act were our two main priorities. Definitely getting the GUARD Act moving again is a big piece of our day. And it's very important, so we're focusing there. But as our services go, we do deal with benefit upgrades, discharge upgrades. If someone has an issue with their discharge status, we can assist with that as well. So I encourage them to go to the Arizona Veterans Mission Group .org page, and they can fill out a form there. They get in touch directly with me. So they're not talking to a bunch of different people. It goes directly to me, and then normally directly over to Derek. So we're the two that you'll be talking to. And if we can't personally help, we can at least get you in touch with some trusted people that we work with.
Thank you, Anna. Can we talk a little bit more about the PACT Act?
Oh, absolutely.
This is it's big. And as a veteran myself, I'm slowly learning more and more about how it could potentially affect me. So can you help our viewers who maybe haven't looked into it much but may have heard about it understand it a little more?
Yeah, absolutely. The PACT Act does three main things. It establishes different locations for presumptive exposure to different toxins. So now, any veteran who served in certain locations during certain time periods can be presumed exposed to Agent Orange. We don't have to fight that battle anymore. Veterans who served in the Middle East or certain locations can be presumed to be exposed to burn pits or other environmental toxins. So we don't have to prove that bit anymore. The second thing it does is it expands the list of conditions which are presumptively caused by those toxic exposures. So now being able to get that disability, not only service-connected but potentially compensated, drastically helps these veterans. Now, veterans with most types of cancer who are exposed to burn pits can enjoy the presumption of service connection for those conditions. It also creates presumptives for different respiratory issues, such as asthma, sinusitis, or rhinitis. So nasal issues or lung issues are now presumptive in those veterans who served in the Middle East. For veterans who were exposed to Agent Orange, any hypertension later in life is presumed to be caused by that. And that's a big deal for a lot of veterans because many, many veterans develop hypertension, and hypertension leads to a whole host of really nasty medical consequences. And then the third thing it does is it forces the VA to take toxic exposure more seriously. Right now, or prior to 2022, the VA looked into toxic exposure. But when we would seek medical opinions arguing that, you know, a condition was caused by exposure to a toxin or toxins, say benzene, trichloroethylene, and PFAS, like firefighting foam, solvents, and jet fuel. Well, the examiner would say, no, this condition isn't caused by benzene. No, this condition isn't caused by TCE. No, this condition isn't caused by PFAS. Well, now they have to look at the synergistic effect of all of those exposures together, because being exposed to benzene and TCE is much different than being exposed to one or the other. The other thing it did is it forces the VA to, you know, spend money on researching what other conditions presumptively result from exposure to these environmental toxins.
So if I'm a veteran and I'm really kind of just now learning about the PACT Act, I know there was a window to file a claim. Are we still in that window?
The window ended in mid-August in order to have it retroactively backdated to August of 22. But it is not too late to file a PACT Act claim. The only difference is what effective date those benefits are going to have.
And so what should I do? What advice would you have for a veteran who's hearing about this for, or deciding or learning, like, hey, that sounds like something that I may have been exposed to, or I was deployed to the Gulf in that era. What should I do?
Absolutely. So first thing that I recommend any veteran do is they log on to their va.gov account and just open a claim. Or they can file a form called an intent to file form. Either one of those actions tells the VA that, hey, within the next 365 days, I'm going to make a claim for benefits. When they're granted, they'll get granted back to the date of my intent to file. The other reason why an intent to file is so important is that it can serve to help continuously pursue an appeal. VA disability decisions have a 1-year statute of limitations for appeals. But if you file an intent to file within that time, you can still have certain appellate rights open to you while maintaining that earlier effective date. Step 2, contact an accredited agent, attorney like myself, or a veteran service organization like DAV, Arizona Department of Veteran Services, American Legion, VFW, I could keep going, to get assistance on help identifying what conditions may be linked to service and for assistance in filling out the paperwork as well.
Well, that's, I think, outstanding information for people watching, and certainly I'm running over it in my mind and thinking about, well, you know, that some of that may apply to me. So certainly encourage all of our viewers to take those steps, and we'll provide some more information in this episode to help them do that. And if I'm a veteran and maybe I'm I don't need assistance, but it sounds like something I'd like to help with.
Yes.
AVMG is a 501c3 nonprofit.
We are. So fundraising is always a piece, you know, that we have to do to help these veterans that can't afford those upfront costs, just so we remove all those barriers. So anyone who can donate any amount is fantastic. And, you know, I think we'll have a QR code up for people to take a look at. And please help us support the veterans that deserve this, you know, and there's just so many people that don't know what's going on because, unfortunately, you don't know until you have to know, you know. So I'm a civilian. I didn't know a lot of this before my position. So people that aren't in the military don't know we're dealing with this with our veterans, and they're having to go through all these different steps that they shouldn't have to. So let's help make it easier for them. And so, yes, any donations are always welcome.
And so it's obviously all about helping our veterans. So, Derek, is there a particular success story? Is there someone who you were able to help that really kind of sticks with you and makes you feel good, something you'd like to share with us?
Oh, gosh. Probably the case that I'm most proud of was actually one where I didn't earn a dime. It was a veteran who came to me. She was a referral from a previous client of mine who had never applied for VA benefits before. And she was a victim of sexual assault while she was in the military. We were able to assist her in not only applying, but developing the evidence necessary. So that way she not only got approved for her mental health claim, but also for chronic fatigue syndrome and other disabilities that stemmed from her deployment and her service separate from the sexual assault. So on the VA side, that's probably the success story that I'm most proud of, because we were able to do great work, get the VA to do what it's supposed to and keep its promise and not charge the veteran a dime. On the discharge upgrade side, because that's a big part of what we do as well, two of the cases that the charity has, or the nonprofit has assisted with, were a Army veteran who was given a general discharge rather than an honorable discharge because he was unable to pass a PT test. And what we were able to show the discharge review board was that the Army failed to follow its regulations and did not afford him the medical exams. And if they did, they would have seen his, you know, back arthritis, his knee arthritis, his hip arthritis, and how all these issues combined to cause him to fail that PT test. So he was now able to get an honorable discharge and now has access to his full GI Bill rather than not having GI Bill access under a general discharge.
We're seeing a lot now with the LGBTQ plus community that were, you know, did not receive their honorable discharge for nefarious reasons. And so we can help with those. So, you know, people that have experienced that, you know, we're definitely here to help serve that community that was completely mistreated in many cases. So please, you know, reach out to AVMG and see how we can help.
Yeah, and that seems like, obviously, that would be something that if someone was discharged under those conditions, probably pretty traumatic for them.
Absolutely.
And it's probably hard for them to revisit it. But the idea of unlocking benefits that they earned, that they should have access to, that's a big deal.
Yeah, and we're on their side. You know, they don't have to do it on their own. They have us to help them through the process.
What I like to tell my clients is that, you know, the benefit of hiring an attorney or working with a VSO is that you can sit back and let them do all the stressing. You know, they'll tell you where to go and what to do. They'll make sure that everything gets filed. They'll make sure that everything stays on track. And all the veteran has to do is just sit back and wait for a decision, essentially.
And so the way people can access all those services is through Arizona Veterans Mission Group?
Absolutely. They can go right to our website. We're on all the social media platforms as well. And they fill out a form there. I contact them, or depending on what they say in their, you know, their form, they get sent right over to Derek's team for a communication to see how we can help with their problem.
Well, I'm so glad we've had this conversation. Yeah. Like I said in the beginning, I think the law is intimidating for a lot of people, and certainly no different for our veterans. And then you pile on the red tape and everything of dealing with the VA and some of these other issues. I'm sure a lot of our veterans probably just walk away. Yeah. So it's good to know that there are people out there who are there and ready to help.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of veterans end up leaving service, or even after service, they leave with a negative impression of the VA. What I would say to those veterans is that the VA has improved significantly, and regardless of whether, you know, it's a bit of a headache up front, these are benefits that will serve not only you but your family for the rest of your life, and they're benefits that you've earned through our service to your country, through your service to our country. So apply, get the benefits you're entitled to.
And ask for help if you need it, right?
Absolutely.
Well, outstanding. Is there anything else we haven't touched on that you'd like to cover?
I think that's a lot. I think we gave people a lot of information, but if anything was left unsaid, you know, again, please just contact us and we'll get you the answer if we don't have it.
Yep. Well, Derek, Anna, thank you so much. Thank you so much for what you're doing to help our veterans, and thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you so much for having
us. Thanks for inviting us.
Thanks for watching. To find out more and support Arizona Veterans Mission Group, visit their website at arizonaveteransmissiongroup.org. You can find past episodes along with news and resources for Arizona veterans at veteransaz.org. Thank you for watching.